Father, we do thank you for this moment to look at your word, to dive in kind of deep on what your word says about this moment we're in, about the future that's coming, about the promises that we have in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you've allowed Stephen to come here this morning and to share with us and to do it in a way that I believe will be not only a blessing, but also very instructive for how we think about not only the world, but our own walk with you, our own life with you. God, we pray that you would give him strength, give him wisdom, and that even as he speaks, even to find the right words to share what you've put on his heart, that you would do that, and that it would be a blessing to all of us who are here, including him. We commit ourselves to you and to your word, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to our hearts even as we listen. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Shalom, everybody. Okay, so it's not easy for me to do it in English, so maybe Sonia will help me if I'm stuck. Okay, so I'm not going to talk about what is happening in Israel right now, not to talk about the physical war that is happening right now, because the Bible says that we have no war with flesh and blood. We have a war with the spirits, right? So I am going to talk about the war that is behind that war, the spiritual war. So let's go back to the beginning. When God created the earth, he made a special garden, the Garden of Eden. And he placed Adam and Eve in that garden. When Adam and Eve fell to the sin, so God kicked them out, right? So they cannot eat the tree of life and get eternal life when they have a sin inside of them, right? I don't want to be to have eternal life. When I have evil inside of me. That's not what we want. So as an act of mercy, actually God blocked the way to return to the garden. But the garden supposed to be our natural place. God destined the garden to be our property. So once he kicked us out from that garden, we become people that live in exile. We are all in the exile right now because our natural place is that garden. But, you know, God said that he repent to making the man. Yeah, and then he look how he can give back to the people what they lost because of the sin. So he found Abraham, and he test Abraham to see if he is worthy to be the one who is going to be the heir of the inheritance that God wants to give to the man. Okay? So he tested him many times, but there is one test that was very important. That is the place where God told Abraham, take your only son, even he already has two sons, right? He already had Ishmael. But God told him, anyway, take your only son that you love, yeah? And take him to sacrifice in a very special place, the land of Moriah. Later, we understand that that place is the same place of Jerusalem, Temple Mount. Why God told him to take his son from Beersheba? Beersheba is in the south of Israel. and walk 3 days until he will get to the place, to Mount Moriah, to sacrifice his child. So Abraham almost killed him, but the Lord told him, don't do it, and I want you to understand why Abraham became the heir. Why God promised to him what the humankind lost in the Garden of Eden. Let's read Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 to 17.
And I'm going to read for Stephen. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time, and he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies.
Yeah, actually in Hebrew, your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. The word in Hebrew that appear in that verse is to inherit. I said it okay? Mm-hmm. To inherit. That's a very important word. So that's what God promised to Abraham because what he did. He obeyed God and almost killed his own only and beloved son. I believe that there is a missing verse that's supposed to be in that text, but is not there. That verse actually appear in the New Testament. Appears in book of Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. Because what God told to Abraham is, you, what is the word in English? No, rehusastes. You did not refuse your one and beloved son for me. And because of that, I am not going to
refuse
my son for you. You understand that? So there is nobody on earth that is worthy for God to sacrifice his only and beloved child beside Abraham. He is the only one who is worthy to that God send his son to the world. So that is the meaning of, you know, be the son of Abraham. Because everybody who is the son of Abraham has forget it in Spanish too. He is the one who only a son or daughter of Abraham participates with the promise. Yeah, with the promise that God gave to Abraham. Now it's not matter if you are physical descendants of Abraham, but because of Yeshua, you are spiritual descendants of Abraham. Yeah, but you must be descendant of Abraham, because if not, you are not part of the promise. Now, let's read what actually Abraham, why God sent Abraham from Ur all the way to Canaan. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11, 8 to 10.
By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God.
Amen. So, yes, later on, the offspring of Abraham took that land with Joshua, yeah? But the letter of Hebrews is not talking about a physical land. What Abraham was looking for? He looked for a city that God creates, not man. And we know also from the letter of Hebrews that that city is Jerusalem of heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem. Yeah? So that's what Abraham was waiting. He didn't get the inheritance. He just got the promise of the inheritance. So just a little question. Why? So the inheritance is Jerusalem or the New Jerusalem. My question is, why God kicked out Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, and that's supposed to be their property, and we are all in the exile from that place, but God promised to Abraham Jerusalem. You understand my question? Why it's Garden of Eden? We're supposed to return to the Garden of Eden, but in the other verses in the Bible, God is talking about Jerusalem. So I will make a parenthesis and say that I just wrote a book, and the name of the book is Jerusalem from Paradise to Eternity. Because in that book I explain, of course, according to the Bible, why I believe that the place of the Garden of Eden was in Jerusalem. Yeah? But I will let you read it. I hope next month, with the Lord's help, the book will be published on Amazon and you can buy it. But, so yes, Abraham was looking for a spiritual city, heavenly Jerusalem. Now, because Abraham never get that inheritance, also the Israelites that enter to the promised land, they also never get the promised inheritance. What supposed to happen for the heir? How is you say heir in plural? In English. Herederos, heirs. How those heirs will get their inheritance? It must be through the blood of Yeshua. Yeah, God kicked us out from the garden because of our sin. So in order to return to the garden, he needs to remove from us that sin. So only then we can return. So, the first coming of Yeshua is to do exactly that. To redeem us, or redeem for us, the inheritance. Okay? Because you have to understand, the purpose of the first coming is not to forgive us our sins. The forgiveness of sins is just a ticket to return to our property that God promised to Abraham. You understand that? That, yeah? So, what is going to, when it's going to be the moment that the heirs will get that inheritance? That will be the second coming. Okay? So, let's read Psalms chapter 2, the entire Psalms chapter 2, and let's see what is actually that spiritual war.
Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron, and you will dash them into pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him."
Amen. So I really like Psalms chapter 2 because it's like a summary of the entire plan of God. What God wants for the earth? The only thing God wants is that his king, who is his king? His son, the anointed one, yeah? Yeshua, Jesus. What God wants is to place his king on Mount Zion. Yeah? Why? Because once Yeshua will step on earth for the second time, that's game over for Satan. Yeah? That's it. The earth will get their inheritance, and that's it. He lost everything. So what Psalms number 2 says that is that all the nations, but what happened with those nations? They know that when Yeshua will return, that's what's going to happen. They all need to submit, that's the word, submit to him, right? And they don't want it. Yeah? You have to understand, there are two spirits on earth. The spirit of Christ that's trying to achieve the kingdom of heaven on earth, and the spirit of the Antichrist that will do whatever he can to stop the prophecies to be fulfilled. Those are the two spirits that are on earth. And the most of the governments of the most of the nations in the world are leading by the spirit of the Antichrist. Yeah? So, yeah. So, when Yeshua will return, he will inherit all the nations. Remember that. Okay. Now, let's read Psalms chapter 83. It's a little bit long, so we will read only verses 1 to 6 and then 12.
O God, do not remain silent. Do not turn a deaf ear. Do not stand aloof, O God. See how your enemies growl, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, so that Israel's name is remembered no more. With one mind they plot together. They form an alliance against you, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagrites, who said, "Let us take possession of the pasture lands of God."
So, enemies of who? The Psalms 82, 83 says in the beginning, the enemies of, what it says? Enemies of God. Yeah? But then, all the enemies of God are fighting against Israel. You understand what is happening here? How a man can hurt God? Erir. Sorry. A man cannot hurt God, right? So what they can do to hurt God in some way, to hurt his people. Yeah? But verse 12 explains to us what is their real purpose. Now, in English is not exactly as it's in Hebrew. Can you put verse 12, please? Yeah. So, let us take position. I don't know if in English you understand it as it's supposed to be in Hebrew, because in Hebrew it says, let's inherit. I said it okay, let's inherit. Yeah? Now, pasture land. What the meaning of that word? Fields of the flock, right? This is not what says in Hebrew. The Hebrew says the house of God or the property of God. Yeah? Now, let me tell you something. In the physical, in the earth, on earth, people can have different excuses for different things. But always there is a spirit that works behind them. Okay? Why I'm saying that? Because in order for Yeshua return to earth, it's not simply, it's not a simple In order for Yeshua to return on earth, they're supposed to complete certain prophecies, yeah? And they must be in that order. Okay, there is an order of things that's supposed to happen. You remember what Yeshua told to the Samaritan woman? For salvation is of the Jews. Yeah? What that mean? When we read about the Jewish people, we read in the Old Testament, they were always rebels against God, right? Also in the New Testament, they reject Yeshua. So how it's possible that a nation that is rebellious, can salvation come out of them? So I want to tell you that happened or supposed to happen twice in history. First, because of the promise of God to Abraham, the Messiah must come through Abraham and David, and there is a lineage, right? So the enemy knows that. And he tried to do whatever he can to destroy that lineage, so the Messiah never come. Yeah? That's the reason why Pharaoh tried to kill all the men in Egypt. That's the reason why Haman, in the book of Esther, tried to kill all the Jews. That's the reason why Herod tried to kill Yeshua in Bethlehem. And there is a large list of people that tried to kill the Israelites. So that didn't work for Satan. Yeshua arrived 2,000 years ago. And that's the first reason why Yeshua said that this for salvation is of the Jews. Yeah? But this is not the end. Because also, for the second coming of Yeshua, the Jews must be in the land of Israel. How I know that? Let's read what Matthew 23, verses 37, 39 says.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So he talked to the people, the citizens of Jerusalem. And he talked to the people that actually reject him. He is not talking to people that already know or believe in him. He talked to the ones who reject him. Yeah? So it's not matter how you, as Gentiles that live in the United States, says, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Of course, God is glad for you to say that. Yeah? But remember, he is the king of Jerusalem, as his father David. So a king need his kingdom, need his citizens. So he told to them, you need to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yeah? So that's what the people who reject him need to say in order to see him again. And if you don't believe me, let's go to Zechariah chapter 12. And remember Psalms 2 that talk about why all the nations are conspire. Mm-hmm. So let's see what Zechariah chapter 12 says. Verse 2.
I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem.
And now let's go to verses 9 to 10.
On that day I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son.
So that chapter is actually describe what is going, how the second coming of Christ will look like. What we read in Psalms 2, that all the nations will try to conspire in order to prevent the second coming. Here we see an actual war that is going to happen. All the nations will come together to fight against who? To fight against Jerusalem. So what is going to happen? In the last moment, before those nations will destroy Jerusalem, the people in Jerusalem will pray to God. And as we read, the spirit of mercy will come upon them. Then Yeshua himself will descend from heaven, and the people that are in Jerusalem will look at him. Maybe they will see his marks. Say it okay? The marks on his hand. And they will say something like, oh, so the one who we pierce is actually the one who came to save us. Don't confuse it with something else. The Bible says that they will see him and understand who he is, the one who they reject for the last 2,000 years. Yeah? And who pierced him? The Jews. So, according to the prophecies, the Jews must be in Jerusalem, and not necessarily they will be believers until that happened. Because they're going to be in shock to see who is their Messiah. Yeah? So those are the prophecies. Those are the steps that must happen in order for the second coming. So, yeah, Israel is not holy. I mean, the people of Israel are not holy. The people of Israel are sinners. They need to repent and know who is their Messiah in order to get eternal life. This is the truth. Not everything that Israel do is correct. Not everything that Israel do is justice. Just, thank you. But there is a verse in Deuteronomy. I give it to you only now. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 9. Right?
Yes, Deuteronomy 9, verses 5 and 6.
Yeah.
We don't have it on the screen, but it says, it is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you are going to take possession of the land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you to accomplish what he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand then that it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess. For you are a stiff-necked people.
Remember that. The prophecy of that the Jews supposed to return to their land has nothing to do with their actions, with their belief, with their, I don't know, ideology, with their nothing. It's only because of the promise to Abraham. Yeah? So I'm not going to argue about what Israel is doing right now is good or not. That's not the issue. But the reason why there is a war right now, and it's the same reason why Hitler wants to kill all the Jews. It's the same reason why in the 2,000 years, the Jews were persecuted persecuted, and always the anti-Semitic had different reasons why to kill the Jews. Maybe Hitler because of race. Yeah, the Jews are inferior than the Aryans, the Germans. Can be, I don't know, maybe the theology of replacement. Yeah, the Christian theology that says that the Jews are not supposed to be in God's plan. There are different reasons, earthly reasons, why people hate the Jews. But the spirit behind them, the spirit to lead them to hate Jews for the different reasons, is because the spirit of the world wants to quitar la legitimidad, to take their legitimacy for the Jews to return to their land. So you will say, oh, but the Palestinians were there before the Jews. Okay, that's true. But also the Canaanites were before. Yeah? Before the Israelites. Again, I'm not going to say if it's justice or injustice, but the circumstances, I'd say it okay, the circumstances that the enemy create in order to
para formar una situación que al final le quite la legitimidad.
To create.
He's saying that the spirit of the Antichrist is trying to create a situation that will delegitimize Israel and their place in the land.
Thank you. But look at that. Always the plan of God is bigger. Yeah? Always is bigger. And God knows how to use that situation, how to use that hatred, yeah, against Israel in order to bring judgment. Okay? Because that hatred that we see all over the world, in the end will bring all the nations to fight against Israel. Let's read Micah chapter 4, verses 11 to 12.
I'll read it. But now many nations are gathered against you. They say, let her be defiled. Let our eyes gloat over Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan, that he has gathered them like sheaves to the threshing floor.
You know what you are doing in the threshing floor? You separate the grain from the
shaft.
Yeah? And that's what Jerusalem will become. All the nations will go to Jerusalem because of their hatred for Israel, but there is a purpose. God will make a judgment there with them. Yeah? So, wow, this is the story of the inheritance, how we will get back this inheritance. It's not a simple story. It's not a clean story. But
This is what the scriptures tell us. So, that's it.
Thank you, Stephen. I want to pray for Stephen before we close, and also I just want to put this out as well. So I mentioned to you that he is obviously not able to work right now, and so we also want to take up a special offering for Stephen today.